So sometimes when you look up at the sky, you'll see, and the conditions have to be exactly right, so you can't always see this, but sometimes you'll see a stripy wave in a cloud, and that's usually caused by gravity waves. It turns out that gravity waves can generate turbulence as well.
So what exactly is a gravity wave then? What does that mean?
It's exactly like the waves you see on the beach on the surface of the ocean. That's also a gravity wave, or it's in the same category of waves in the atmosphere and ocean. So you can't always see them, but sometimes, maybe once a month, very roughly, you look up at the sky and see a stripy wave. You can't miss them when you see them, and that's because a gravity wave has propagated through that part of the atmosphere and caused maybe the moisture to condense and become visible, but usually they're invisible.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did you just say that gravity waves can have an impact on turbulence experienced on flights?
Yeah, they can. We don't know exactly how much, but we do know that what gravity waves do is they obviously move around in the atmosphere, so they're a wave, so they're propagating and moving through space. And what they can do is that they can, what we would call, break. So we call this wave breaking. And it's exactly, to come back to this vision of people sitting on the beach looking out at the ocean, that's exactly what the ocean waves do. They start out at sea as small waves, low amplitude waves, and as they come towards the shore, they grow in amplitude, and eventually they get so big that they kind of break, and obviously everyone who's been to the beach will have seen these waves just breaking down into turbulence and overturning and kind of crashing down. So the waves in the atmosphere do the same thing. They start out pretty weak, they move around the atmosphere, they tend to move upwards in the atmosphere. And eventually they get so big that they become kind of unstable and they break down into turbulence. And that's one of the causes of what we call clear air turbulence, which is the invisible and hazardous kind of turbulence to aircraft.
So when these gravity waves are breaking in the atmosphere, is that naturally occurring?
Yeah, that's an entirely natural process. It's simply caused by the fact that as the gravity waves move upwards in the atmosphere, because of the energy conservation is ultimately the physics that's going on here. They grow in amplitude as the air gets less dense and thinner. And eventually they get so big in amplitude and the oscillations are so large that it breaks down inevitably into turbulence.
And what would changes in climate conditions, would that have any impact on how rough a gravity wave breaking might be?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because many people I've discovered are fearful of flying. It won't necessarily stop someone from getting on a plane, but it will make them a nervous flyer. We all are interested in how turbulence might change in future as the climate changes. The way the climate is changing, the atmosphere is not warming uniformly as the climate changes. So different altitudes and different latitudes are warming at different rates. And this has been very well studied, and we understand the physics behind it. So it's not warming by 1 degree everywhere. There's a spatial pattern to the warming. And the consequence of that is that the jet stream, so there's one in the southern hemisphere, one in the northern hemisphere, those are the two main jet streams on the planet. Those jet streams, at flight cruising levels of 30,000 to 40,000 feet in altitude, the jet streams, we have evidence, are speeding up. And that's creating instabilities in the atmosphere, not necessarily involving gravity waves, but potentially. But those instabilities are becoming greater, more frequent, and stronger. And that, the evidence is causing there to be more turbulence.
So, what exactly are jet streams?
Jet streams are massive air currents that blow from west to east in the mid-latitudes. There's one in the southern hemisphere, one in the northern hemisphere. They can blow at speeds of 200 miles an hour or more on a good day. I check out the jet stream every day. It's the first thing I do when I get into the office. I see where it is and how strong it is. So it moves around a little bit. It can develop waves that we call Rossby waves. So it's not always blowing directly from west to east. Sometimes a wave-like perturbation, a large wave now, I'm not talking about the small-scale gravity waves. I'm talking about a planetary scale kind of wave that will make the jet stream buckle and go up to the north and south, kind of snaking around the globe. So those are the two jet streams, one in each hemisphere. And we know that there's three times as much clear air turbulence in the jet streams than there is elsewhere in the atmosphere. And that's because the jet streams are very unstable parts of the atmosphere where it's natural for turbulence to tend to break out.
You've said clear air turbulence. Is this what you mean? Like stronger jet streams, heavier gravity wave breakings? Is that what you call clear air turbulence?
Yeah, so there are different kinds of turbulence in the atmosphere. The most obvious kind of turbulence, the kind of turbulence you can see, is turbulence in clouds. So what you've got going on in a cloud is that warm air is rising. Warm air is less dense, it weighs less than cold air. So the warm air will tend to rise in the atmosphere, and cooler air will tend to move down to take up the space that the warm air left behind lower down. So there's vertical currents whenever we have a cloud, and those vertical air currents can push up and down on the wings of a plane. So convection and clouds are always a turbulent environment. And whenever I've flown through a cloud, it's always been turbulent. And that's because of those vertical air currents to do with the warm air rising. The thing about the turbulence and convection in clouds is that we can see it. Okay, if the pilot on the plane can look out of the cockpit window and see that there's a cloud there, we will know that that will be a turbulent environment. And the radar on the plane can see it too. And the other thing about turbulence in clouds is that usually the case that you only encounter it in the first part of the flight when the plane is ascending from the airport up to its cruising level. And also in the final half hour or so of a flight, when the plane is descending, you'll have to come down through the clouds. But usually, on a long haul flight, like a transatlantic flight, for example, 90% of the flight will be the cruising period in the middle where you will be flying above the clouds. And so convection in clouds is less of a problem for most of the flight. It's this clear air turbulence, which is invisible. And in fact, not even the radar on board the plane can see this kind of turbulence, and certainly the pilot in the cockpit wouldn't be able to see it. So it's the clear air turbulence that tends to be hazardous and cause injuries, partly because it's invisible, and partly also because it strikes at a portion of the flight in the cruise phase where the seatbelt sign will not necessarily be switched on, and passengers will generally be moving about the cabin. So this turbulence can come out of the blue, and any passengers who happen not to be seated with their seatbelt fastened can be tossed around in the cabin by this kind of turbulence. So usually when you see people being taken off a plane on stretchers after a turbulence encounter, usually it will have been a clear air turbulence encounter that has caused that.
Does that really happen? So if you have this really bad turbulence, people get injured by that, or
Oh
can get
yeah.
injured by that.
So we have statistics. Some of the best statistical databases come from the USA, and those databases show that there are thousands of planes every year encountering what we call severe turbulence. And I should say there's a kind of calibrated scale for talking about the different strengths of turbulence. It's a bit like the Richter scale that we have for measuring the strength of an earthquake. So severe turbulence, by definition, is turbulence that is stronger than gravity, in simple terms. So the vertical acceleration of the plane in the turbulence will be stronger than gravity. And what that means is that anything that's not strapped down will lift up inside the cabin in severe turbulence. And we know that there are thousands of encounters with turbulence this strong every year in the USA alone, and something like hundreds of injuries. It does sometimes cause fatal injuries as well. That tends to be on smaller planes. The general rule in aviation turbulence is the smaller the plane, the more strongly it will respond to a given patch of turbulence because it doesn't have the inertia of a big plane like a 747 or a 380.
Looking at clear air turbulence, what exactly is it about changing climate conditions when there are, I guess, stronger jet streams, when there are heavier gravity wave breaks? What makes this turbulence so bad? Is it rising temperatures or is it changes in the atmosphere?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me explain it in this way. There's a kind of competition going on in the atmosphere. There are two effects. One of the effects is trying to destabilize the atmosphere and generate turbulence. The other effect is trying to hold that back and stabilize the atmosphere and stop the turbulence. So the first effect is in the jet stream, there are what we call wind shears, wind shear is just the fact that the wind speed depends on height. So at different heights, you will have different flow rates. So the different layers of the atmosphere are kind of flowing over each other. That's what meteorologists call a wind shear, and that is trying to generate turbulence. The other effect is what in scientific terms we would call the stratification, and that's simply the fact that the higher up you go in the atmosphere, the less dense the atmosphere is. That effect is trying to stop turbulence from breaking out. So there's a kind of tug of war between these two effects in the jet stream. 99% of the time, the stratification wins over the wind shear, and the atmosphere is stable and there's no turbulence. But about 1% of the time, the wind shear is strong enough, and that usually means the jet stream is strong enough, that it wins the fight with the stratification, and that's when turbulence breaks out. So we think that 99% of the atmosphere between 30 and 40,000 feet is free from turbulence, significant turbulence at any time. But 1% of the time, those wind shears are strong enough that they win the fight and turbulence breaks out. And in simple terms, what climate change is doing is it's increasing the strength of the jet stream, increasing the wind shears, and just tipping the balance slightly more in favor of the wind shear winning out in the competition against the stratification.
Is there really a way to mitigate this problem?
There's a couple of things we could do, and indeed are already doing. One of those would be to try to improve the accuracy of the turbulence forecasts. So every 6 hours, international agencies calculate and issue forecasts of aviation hazards, and that would include turbulence, but also other hazards like something called icing, which is where moisture freezes onto the wings of a plane and that reduces the lift force, and that can be a serious hazard, and also volcanic ash emissions as well. So there are forecasts every 6 hours, calculated by the agencies and issued to the aviation sector and used in flight planning. Those turbulence forecasts are pretty good. They tend to be about 75% accurate. So that's good enough that they're useful for flight planning, but it also means there's an extra 25% worth of accuracy that we could potentially squeeze out of these forecasts if we had the right research investment into trying to improve those algorithms. So that's point number one. Point number two would be that there is some technology that we could install on planes that would enable the pilot to see this invisible clear air turbulence. It involves shining an ultraviolet laser out of the front of the plane, and that light gets reflected off the invisible clear air turbulence. And by analyzing the reflected light, and test flights have been done to show that this actually does work, we can calculate where the turbulence is up to 15 kilometers ahead. And that's just far enough to be useful to the pilot to try and get out of the way of it. The problem is, this is very expensive technology, and currently the business case for installing it, retrofitting it onto a fleet of aircraft, is negative. It would cost more to fit the planes than the airline would save from the avoided turbulence. But maybe as we go forward in time and the cost of the technology comes down and the atmosphere becomes more turbulent, as I think it is, we might see that business case flip over and become positive, and we might see this technology rolled out across a fleet of aircraft. We'll have to wait and see.